Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's your host, Gina Crash, for the next half hour or so, and I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest. It's Kate Pica. She is the marketing and PR director with the Baltimore Humane Society right here in Reisterstown. Good morning, Kate. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for having me.
We're so excited, and we know who you are from Dog Fest and all your great events and stuff, but for people who don't know what you do at the Baltimore Humane Society, let us know what you do.
Well, I am marketing and PR, of course, so I'm all about getting the word out of all the things that we do here, and that includes the fun events that we do, like Black Tie and Tails, which is usually our Black Tie Gala that happens in the spring, as well as Dog Fest, which I think everybody on earth knows about. It brings about 4,000 to 5,000 people out on our 300-acre property for everything dog. It was vendors and games and demonstrations. It's a lot of fun. But the animal shelter and the Humane Society actually does a lot more than that. And we have three different branches. We intake animals from people who need to rehome their pets, as well as we work as a transfer partner with places like Barks and with Baltimore County Animal Services and other animal control facilities, helping them actually adopt out animals. We transfer animals from them to us. We have a low-cost spay, neuter, and wellness clinic, as well as a TNR program. We operate a food bank, which has become critical right now during this time of COVID, where we are able to actually help people keep pets in their homes by giving them the food they need on a monthly basis, and that's for up to 3 dogs and 5 cats per household.
Oh, my gosh, you guys do so much. We are so blessed to have you in the area. My heavens, I had no idea you did all that, or if I did, I didn't hear it all at once where you're like, wow, you guys do a lot for homeless pets and people in our community as well. So how long have you been with the Baltimore Humane Society, Kate?
I actually came on board in August of last year.
Oh, wow.
So this would be, we're a little bit over a year at this point. I moved here after working with the Atlanta Humane Society in Atlanta, Georgia for 6 years. And prior to that, was in Louisiana with the Louisiana SPCA.
Well, we are lucky to have you here. And what a first year a little over a year it's been for you. My gosh, if you had any idea.
It has not stopped, but this is also my dream. I am a super fan of Baltimore itself. I fell in love with a man from Baltimore over 25 years ago, and our goal was always to get back up here and make this our permanent home.
I love
that.
And
we finally did it. We've purchased a home. We're not going anywhere.
Good.
And I couldn't be happier.
Awesome. Well, we're happy that you're here. And speaking of not going anywhere, tell us a little bit about the history of the Baltimore Humane Society. And you know, you're not going anywhere either because we need you. So it's quite a rich history, which I know you know all about. So let us, enlighten us a little bit if people aren't that familiar with, the history of the organization.
We've been around a long time. We were founded in 1927, and it was actually a socialite. Her name was Elsie Seeger Barton. Who at the age of 16, she ended up with rheumatic fever. She was confined to her bed. Her constant companions were her family's beloved pets. And she realized at that point, she resolved to devote her entire life to the care and the humane treatment of companion and service animals. And she wanted to establish a refuge or a sanctuary for homeless animals. She did that originally on her family's estate, which was on Milford Road in Pikesville. She kind of went out. She was always known as the animal lady, okay? I hate to say it. Where I used to live, I think I was becoming known as the animal lady, which is kind of scary. She started out literally a humane society in the 30s at her parents' estate, and she ended up actually starting out with a 23-acre compound in Park Heights on Old Court Road.
Oh, wow.
It included an administration building, and there was a 3-story horse hospital. There was an animal hospital with operating rooms. She completely funded the project on her own with 500 supporters that actually put that into play. In the 1940s, she actually worked with the Baltimore County government and was responsible for their stray department, as they called it, which was a precursor to animal control.
Oh, wow.
And so the next 30 years, the Baltimore Humane Society patrolled nearly 600 miles of Baltimore County like their roadways, collecting animals and actually operating the early licensing programs that existed, as well as a lost and found program.
Oh my gosh, we owe a lot to her. So now where you're located now, Nicodemus Road in Reisterstown, is obviously not where she originally started everything. So when, how long have you guys been at that space, and then how did that evolve where you are now?
Well, she, this was back in the 50s, and I want to say it was 1957. The new facility actually opened. It was on 22 acres of property, which it still is, and the rest of this property, which has been designated as part of a trust to us, is and will continue to be an undeveloped wildlife sanctuary.
Oh, cool.
She ended up having to move it because of the Beltway.
Mm. Oh, wow. And, this is a history lesson, isn't it?
Yeah, knowing that she couldn't win the fight, she started purchasing acres and acres of farmland and woods in Reisterstown.
Wow.
She ended up having to move like 800 graves from a cemetery on Park Heights Avenue to the new location.
Oh, my God.
Because she was, yes, because she was operating a pet cemetery. It was a really interesting, we have a very interesting background. And even here, there's always been rumors, but there actually is fact. There apparently is an elephant that once belonged to a zoo that is buried here.
Oh, my gosh.
There's all sorts of stuff.
There's a lot of history, to say the least,
there's
right?
There's a lot of history, because then when you get to the 60s, there was the big realization that pet overpopulation was a serious issue. And it was way back then that she actually started doing low-cost subsidized spay-neuter, which was just unheard of. And she did that with a gentleman. His name is actually on that building still, Dr. Robert Wagers. And he had a private practice. He was a veterinarian at the Baltimore Zoo. And he spent most of his time between, like, his practice, the zoo, and the Humane Society.
Wow.
And did it with a two-way radio back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. Now, I know that your shelter is unique. So what makes you guys different? I know you do work in tandem, like you're saying, with Barks and other organizations together. But, you know, as far as Baltimore Humane Society is concerned, what makes you guys so different and special and unique?
Well, it starts with the property. I mean, we're lucky enough that we have this phenomenal property to work with. We have a full memorial park and cemetery, and offers grief support services and, you know, interments and burials and ceremonies for people who have lost their pets. So you've got that one part of it. We also, we're one for the county, at least, and now this has changed. But initially, we were the only organization in this area that actually did have a community pet food bank that was started in 2012 and has continued to run. We have a lot more assistance with that from other shelters now and from other organizations, which is incredible, because especially now it's really needed.
Mm-hmm.
We have the luxury, unlike Barks or Baltimore County Animal Services, of, because we're not required to take absolutely everything in the door, we can work with people to schedule in animals that need to be rehomed. We can take the time and keep animals longer and help them, whether that's behaviorally or physically or emotionally, to get to a point where they're more adoptable.
Oh, good to know.
Okay, so that's a little bit unique for us. We, of course, also, in addition to our shelter, have a foster program that helps in that capacity, that is all volunteers that take on animals and help us. Right now, of course, the big thing is kittens.
They're so cute.
Well, they are so cute. We expected a kitten rush like it typically comes. It's usually April or May. Is what's known as kitten season in shelter talk. And this year, and we don't know why, we don't know if it was just because so many people weren't out and about that it wasn't noticed, but kittens started really coming in August. So August, September, October, we're still seeing litters of kittens.
Oh my gosh, so people can adopt. Well, that leads me to my next question. Are you open to the public for adoptions, and how has that process changed, if at all, with COVID?
Definitely. Everything has changed because of COVID, and that goes for not only adoptions, but also our low-cost spay, neuter, and wellness clinics. We never closed. From the time that all of this happened, we were determined to stay open and still continue to serve the community. We shored ourselves up and kind of put aside a bit of space, thinking that there would be a lot more owner surrenders than there was, which was great. Of course, adoptions went through the roof as everybody adopted their new office assistant for home. it was really phenomenal, to the point where we started to have a hard time getting dogs, especially for adoption.
That's unreal, isn't it? I guess it's a good problem to have, right?
It was a good problem to have, and we're seeing a little bit less of that, of course, but for the longest time, I mean, we work with, you know, like I said, Barks, Baltimore County Animal Services, Allegheny, Prince George, all these different counties, and nobody had dogs that they could actually transfer to us, which was interesting.
Holy cow.
How this has changed is that everything, of course, is by appointment only. We slowly, way back before anybody really thought of it, we sat down and we tried to figure out how we could make this work while keeping the people from the community safe, as well as keeping our staff healthy. So we broke it up into different teams so that there was always people to replace people should anyone become ill, and knock on wood, that has not happened here.
That's amazing.
So what we have done is we have scheduled it out so that people fill out an application. They look at our website. They see who they're interested in. They actually fill out a general application, not for a particular animal. And what that does is we process that application. We do a background check. We do a reference check. We schedule them to come in, take a look, figure out who they like, who they may be interested in adopting. And we do that. Only one person in the dog area, one person in the cat area, and one person in the small animal area at a time.
Wow. Now, is this somehow even almost like more efficient because you're doing so much in advance? You know, you're really maximizing your time.
It is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It is more efficient on our part. We've actually had to even evolve from what we originally started with there and use a different scheduling program. Because it got to a point where we had to turn off the applications because we didn't have enough animals.
Right.
Or we had so many applications on an animal. We only take three per animal that we couldn't, at least with a good conscience, say, oh, yeah, sure, you have the opportunity to adopt that dog. Because we knew darn well that that dog was going to be adopted before these folks who had just filled out that application could actually get in and see the pets that were available.
Right.
So it's been a constant form of evolution for us as to what works best and keeps people engaged and keeps people like in their scheduled spots. I mean, we even thought jokingly about what do we do? Do we do one of those fast, what do they call those dating things? Where
oh, speed dating. Yeah, like speed adoption or something like that.
Yeah, do we do speed adoptions? You know, we kind of had to really think outside the box. But what it comes down to is we're on a schedule. And once people fill out that application, they get approved. They get an appointment, which they can schedule online. They come out. They figure out if there's someone that actually fits, you know, what they're looking for. And they go from there. And we did the same thing when it comes to our spay, neuter, and wellness clinic. And we actually have gotten comments from folks saying that, wow, this is great. It is much more efficient because we put the paperwork online. We email it to them. They email it back before they ever show up. It's very efficient. We come out, we get their animal out of their car, we take it inside. If it's spay neuter, we let them know what time to be back. If it's a wellness appointment, they just wait.
Wow.
Well,
it's a well-oiled machine. Yeah, for sure. And is the Be More Kind pet food pantry you talked about earlier, is that still open?
That is still open, and everything, of course, same as it is for adoptions and for low-cost spay neuter, it is done by appointment only.
Gotcha.
For people to find out about it, they can just either call us, which is 410-833-8848. And that would be option 2, or extension 2 is going to get them to the person that they need to speak with to find out more about that program and how they sign up.
I'm so sorry. I sneezed. Seasonal allergy sufferer Gina Crash and Kate Pica, who is the marketing and PR director of the Baltimore Humane Society. Well, good opportunity to reintroduce you, too. And you're still offering pet bereavement services as well in COVID-19?
As all of this has gone on, that part of our business doesn't stop, unfortunately.
I know.
Bereavement support and pet loss support group, which is the first Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock by Zoom. because of what has happened over these past months, it seems to be even more popular than it was before.
Yeah, good to know. Because yeah, pets are family, of course, and with all we're going through, they're so important, even more so for companionship and everything else. So you can completely understand that. So thank you for offering that service, too. Are you still accepting pets from owners who need to rehome them? And is that kind of what you call when people surrender the pet for one reason or another? They're not able to care for it, so they put it in your hands and hope to find a good home for it?
Yes. And that was also something that we did not stop because the animals that we're seeing, it in some cases it is financial issues. In other cases, it is just personal situations. In all honesty, we're just grateful that they bring them to us.
Yeah.
And we talk to them, and we, before they end up giving up a pet, we always talk to them about what other options they may have.
Oh, good.
And other ways that we may be able to help them. But if it comes down to it, yes, we are definitely taking in owner surrenders for rehoming.
Good.
And let's see, I'm trying to think.
Yeah. And well, while we're thinking about it, I want to make sure to definitely get into whether or not you've had to cancel any events and how that sort of affected your organization. And we're also excited we partnered with you for Radio Dog Fest, so we'd love to hear an update on that. And I know we got to get into your virtual turkey dog trot, too. So we're probably about halfway through the interview now. We still have tons to cover. So I'll, I guess, should we talk about, you know, some events that were canceled or talk about some you've been able to have and how they've been successful and how you continue to do that?
Well, let's see. When all of this broke, we were in the middle of planning and execution and sponsorship and everything that goes along with one of our largest events, which is Black Tie and Tails. It's a black tie gala that you can bring your dog to.
So cute. I love this. It'll come back as soon as we, you know, get through all of this pandemic business.
It's done at the Lodge in Hunt Valley, and it's incredible. Not only is that a gorgeous space, but then to be able to, a lot of people dress up their dogs in tuxes and bring them on out for the event. So we were right in the middle of that when everything went haywire. And we ended up literally within 3.5 weeks completely switching gears and putting on a completely virtual 5K and fun run. We were the first out of the block to even attempt it. We got some personal trainers who did videos that on how to get in shape to do this. We had healthy recipes every single day for the 2 weeks prior. We had dog trainers that actually did some dog training sessions on how to get your dog ready for the event. So we tried to make it fun. We tried to make it engaging. That was the first time that any of us had ever done anything like that. And as hard as it was, it really started us thinking about, what else can we do?
Yeah, you guys are so resourceful. It's like unbelievable.
And it ended up being incredibly successful. Maybe we had set the bar too low, but it ended up being a very successful event for us.
Oh, good.
So it's just gone from there. We've tried to figure out other ways that we can still engage with the community in a safe way.
That's awesome.
We, unfortunately, like we were talking about, Dog Fest, there was no possible way we could safely put as many people as would show up at Dog Fest on this property.
Right.
In a manner that would be okay. So we lost that one, too. That would have happened in October.
Yep. And we did a radio version of it. So how did that turn out? And have you been able to, you know, the money that you raised from that, have you been able to put that towards what sorts of important things that you need?
Definitely. For one day and a lot of planning, and we can't thank all of you enough for your help and for hosting it.
Oh, yeah. No, we're happy to do it. That's the least we can do. Believe me.
It was again, another let's think outside the box. What can we do? What haven't we done before? Where can we look to engage the community, but do it safely and still make a difference for the animals? And that difference is phenomenal. We can't do what we do without the community's support. We are a independent nonprofit organization. We do not receive funding from the government in any way, shape, or form. We rely on donations. Of course, anything that we can get through, like grants or foundations, But because we're a small organization, we're not eligible for nearly as much as some of your larger operations are.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point to remember. So you're not getting, it's not all taken care of. In other words, you definitely need every dollar raised to help continue to operate and help so many pets and people in the community. Yeah,
there
for sure.
Are things that we've had to put on hold just because, number one, it's not safe to do them, but number two, it's just not budgetable at this point in time.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So I hear you guys are doing a turkey dog trot, and you can tell us about that event. And we were speaking this morning when you actually guys together had to make the difficult collective decision that that was going to go completely virtual, because for a moment you thought maybe you might be able to pull it off, right? And then looking at all the metrics and the current numbers.
We started out very optimistic.
Yeah. Like that. Well, you got to remain optimistic. And then
when the planning started for this, the positivity rate was relatively low and it was decreasing or holding steady. And it unfortunately has consistently gone up since then. So we had to make the unfortunate but very necessary call to err on the side of safety. And that's the safety of our staff. It's the safety of the community. And actually turn it completely virtual, which means that what people will be doing instead of coming out to our property and noshing on breakfast goods and taking their dog for a hike is that they're going to be doing that virtually, and we're going to kind of gear it up a notch, and we're going to put out some social media contests. We want to see pictures of you and your pets. We want to see you doing what you would be doing if you were out here, and we're going to be giving away some prizes. So we're going to change it up a little bit and make it fun so that people can stay engaged.
Cool. And they can find all that info on bemorehumane.org, which is your website.
Yes, and they'll be able to click. The first thing they're going to see is something that is for the turkey dog trot. If they click there, that will take them to the page that tells them all about it and how to register.
Cool.
And you can still register. Again, it's just going to be more of you're going to be doing this on your own, and that's what most turkey trots are doing this year to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we were optimistic. We thought 300 acres for hiking trails, people and their dogs. We don't want to take that chance, not with people's health.
Exactly. You did the right thing for sure. What is your what's like the biggest challenge right now during the pandemic, and your biggest need, would you say, right now? Because we got less than 5 minutes now, so I want to make sure we make that appeal to, you know, what that is and how people can help.
Well, I hate to say it, but the absolute biggest need that we have right now is money.
Gotcha.
Okay. We're putting out our winter ask. That'll be out in the mail in the next couple of weeks. Giving Tuesday is coming up. We're making that really fun. We're going to be doing dogs versus cats versus small animals, and we're shooting videos of all the staff and of people from everywhere telling us why dogs are better, cats are better, or small animals are better.
I love that.
We are going to ask people to cast their votes on Giving Tuesday and actually put in their own videos, their own pictures, whatever they would like as they cast their ballot and make a donation in order to help the shelter.
I love that idea. You guys are so creative. And so can people still volunteer, or is, again, the best way financially for people to really help you out? Or did volunteering get impacted by COVID as well?
Volunteering definitely got impacted. We have completely called off volunteer orientations for new volunteers at this point in time. And we have actually stopped taking applications for our volunteer program. What we have done, initially it was no volunteers were allowed on the property. Then it became just our most experienced volunteers that could help with the cleaning and the care of the animals. And now we are expanding that a bit, and we're slowly in bits and pieces. Again, for us, we are not a big building. We don't have a lot of wide open space. We're being very, very careful about how many people we can put in each, like whether it's the cattery, the dog kennels, or the small animal rooms, how many people we can actually put in one of those.
Gotcha.
So we have people that are helping out in different ways, whether that's spay-neuter or it's helping with just getting the dogs out every day and taking them out on hikes. We have people doing administrative stuff for us. And then, of course, the one thing that groups can do out here, we have this beautiful memorial park. It is fall. What happens in fall? All the leaves fall off.
Yeah, you need help with that.
If anybody is up for the challenge of helping us keep our landscaping in looking good and helping us with some of those things. We do have some outside projects that are suitable for small groups.
Great. So how do they get in touch with you? Is that another thing through BeMoreHumane.org, the website where they...
BeMoreHumane.org for anything that has to do with our memorial park. It actually would be an email address that they can also find on the website and in our social media. It's for our director. Her name is Veronica, and it's V. Van Hoff at BeMoreHumane.org.
Got it.
But like I said, you can message us on our Facebook page. You can email us. And we will be more than happy to get that information. There is still a volunteer email that people can send questions to.
Oh, cool. Good to know. And that's all available on your website. And then social media, I know it's going to be important with your upcoming Turkey Dog Trot. So you guys are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What else are you on? Am I missing any platform?
We're only on those three right now. It's like I was always told that you don't take on more than you can handle, and that's what we can handle.
Amen. That is soup. That's fine. Perfectly fine.
I keep eyeing YouTube and LinkedIn, but we're just not there yet.
I hear you. So that's cool. And again, if you go to BeMoreHumane.org, you can find all those direct icons to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, contact info for all the wonderful services you provide. Kate Pikett, thank you so much for joining us, Marketing and PR Director for the Baltimore Humane Society. Best of luck with everything, and please stay in touch and let us know how we can help.
Tina, thank you so much.
You're awesome. And you guys, thank you for listening. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.